begin the current daf, Masechtas Makos, daf Chav Beis. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, asking on the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah described a case on the top of Chav Aleph and Beis, where if someone could be plowing one furrow, and with that one act of planting with two different animals in a forbidden way, one could be getting 8 sets of lashes. And the Gemara had asked in the previous daf why there seems to be a 9th one when not only are you being Chayrish and Yom Tov, you're also being Zeriah and Yom Tov. So the Gemara answered that question. But the Gemara continues, and the Gemara brings a simon and a mnemonic, Shanvoi, Shanaz, which are the names of the different Amiram, who ask questions on the Mishnah, seemingly that one could have that same activity of plowing and have additional Isurim, different lashes that would be liable for that same action. As the Gemara says, Maskev l'Rav Hoshea, V'lech shav nami hazarei benachal eisen, another set of lashes for that same activity could be, with more variables as the Mishnah was describing, if someone's planting in the hard valley, which is the terminology used by the Egla Arufa, where v'azartari mahacha, there is a warning the Torah gives in Devarim that says, in the area where they make the Egla Arufa, where they find the dead person, they don't know who murdered him, you make a decapitated cap there in the Nachal Eisen. It's a certain type of area of valley. And it says in Devarim, asher lo ya'ovid bo v'lo yizareh, which should not be worked and should not be planted. And here when he's plowing, as we said in the previous daf, even the plowing is considered planting because it has the earth go over the seeds. That could be another violation for that same activity. So why is it only 8? There could be more violations. So to Maskev l'Rav Chananya, he asks another question. He says, you could encounter another one. If let's say the name of Hashem is there on the ground in the area where the plow is going over, which is going to be erasing the name of Hashem as they're plowing. And that warning is from here, Pasuk in Devarim. It says, you should erase the names of the idols that you're going to conquer and destroy, which the Pasuk says, and Loisasnikein L'Shem L'Kechem, which is the source for the prohibition, and you're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. So that could also be done in the same activity of the plowing and should be included in the list of lashes. Maskev Rav Avoh, he asks a question. He says, you could count that if a person cuts off his nega, the tzaras that he has, and that is warning over here in Devarim that says, Hishama benega hatzaras. You should safeguard the nega of the tzaras, which the Gemara says in Shabbos Kaplam and Gimel Medalev. The Pasuk is told about regarding someone cutting off his baharis, his nega, because the word Hishama means a loisa, a negative prohibition. Don't do that. Don't do what? Don't cut it off. And the person could have, when he's plowing, as he's plowing, it could go ahead and cut off his tzaras. And so to Maskev Labaya, he asks, V'lech shav nami, you could also count in the list, Hamazich ha-choshim alo eifad. If the one who's doing this is a kohen gadol, if he has the choshim and the eifad, which is one of the big day kohen gadol, that as he's plowing, it'll take off the choshim from the eifad, which is the breastplate from that garment that the kohen gadol wears. Of ha-mesu ba the aron, or as he's walking, it could take off the staves, the sticks of the aron. And that is a warning over here in Shemais. It says, don't take off the sticks from the Aron. And it says, don't take off the Cheshon from the Eifed. So to Maskev Rav Ashi, he asks, we should also count in the list, if someone plows with the pieces of wood from an Asherah tree, for example, let's say where the tools of the plow were from the Atzi Asherah, and that's warned from here, passing in the Vrum. It says, you shouldn't have anything hold on to it from the Asherah tree. It should be totally burned. And if someone's plowing with that Atzei Asherah, he's violating that Isser. Maskev Ravin, he asks, that if, as he's plowing, he's cutting down good fruit trees, where Vazaras Ma'acha, the Torah warns in the Varm, Ki Mimenu Toichel, it says, from these trees you should eat, Ba'isu Le Sirchus, and I'll cut down the fruit tree. So that could be also violated as he's plowing. Another question, only Reb Ze'er or Reb Mani, says, V'lech Shev Nami, the time of the Mishnah should have counted in the list, could go into Amar Shavua Shulei Echrish B'Yamtiv. Let's say someone took an oath that I'm not going to plow on Yom Tov, and then he plows on Yom Tov, which we described the case in the Mishnah with Klayim and the Mukdash and the whole case. But another issa could be when he swore he's not going to plow on Yom Tov, and then he plows on Yom Tov. So besides the issa of plowing on Yom Tov, it should be another one that you could violate with that same plowing for that of an oath. On that he answered, no, Hasam l'kachal ha-shvua. That oath does not take effect. Therefore, he's not violating it. Why? Because Mushba va'imin mahar Sinaihu. He's already sworn and standing in that responsibility of that oath from Har Sinai. Because we already swore at Har Sinai we're going to fulfill the mitzvahs. So this would be considered as if someone who's swearing to be mavat, to not be mavat la mitzvah, That the Gemara tells in Shavuos Daf Chavei Mad Aleph, it says in the Pasuk, Lahara or Lahetiv, regarding someone who takes an oath to do negative or to do positive, where that's only if he has the ability to do either one. Where here, he doesn't have the ability. Yeah, you could swear that you're not going to violate the mitzvah, but since you cannot swear that you're going to violate the mitzvah because you're already obligated and you already swore by Har Sinai, so therefore this wouldn't be considered a shvuah, that he'd be considered violating it to be liable lashes for violating that. But still, Amaleir Zera Esther Amani, but why? I could tell you a case. Kugenda Amar, like for example, if the person said, Shvuah Shle Echrish Bemachol Bemayamtiv. If he swears, I'm not going to plow not during the weekday, not during Yamtiv. Where there you could say, once the oath takes effect during the weekday, where there's no responsibility for him to plow or not to plow, and he could make such an oath if he wants to, and it takes effect during the weekday, so therefore it should take effect also, once the oath is taking effect, based on the principle as what's known as Isra Kailul, once it's taking effect, it should include even things which he's already obligated anyway, because he accepted responsibility Har Sinai, but now the oath will now, since it's taking effect during the weekday, it should take effect even on Yom Tov, which that's the case of the Mishnah, which already had 8 liabilities, one about Yom Tov, but the oath of Shavua should take effect on Yom Tov, even though Yom Tov already Mishma, because it took effect during the weekday. Now, because there's these two types of Isurim that are additions, add-ons. One is known as Isur Maisav. And Isur Maisav is, for example, if let's say there's the piece itself that's already Usur gets another Issa for it. For example, if let's say regarding Yom Tov, if Yom Tov would get another Issa through this oath, then it would be an Issa Maisav. A case of that would be similar if let's say there's a married woman who becomes his mother-in-law. Where, because let's say he marries the daughter, so now that married woman who has a husband, when he marries the daughter, she becomes his mother-in-law. That's what's known as an Isser Maisav, where originally she only had one prohibition to him, which was Chenik. Now there's an additional Isser on her, because now she's his mother-in-law, now it would be with Sreifa. Or let's say, for example, Chalev, the forbidden fats of Nisr, of a carbon, which is left over its time. Initially, the fats were still in the permitted time, the whole carbon was able to be eaten. Then there was only Isser of Chalev. Now that it's left over the time, on that piece of Chalev gets added on the Isser of Nisr. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing what's known as Isser Kail, where there actually is no Isser that's being added on to that, to the subject itself, to that piece itself. Rather, it's because since that Isser, the new Isser, is including other things with it. For example, if let's say someone has a mother-in-law, so she's forbidden to him because of Chamaisek. Now, then he marries his mother-in-law's sister. Now, since she becomes Usser, because all the other sisters of his new wife are becoming forbidden, so to his mother-in-law also becomes forbidden, even though she's already forbidden to him because of Chamaisek, she becomes forbidden to him now because of a Chayisisha. Not because of something unique to the mother-in-law, but she's included Isser Kail with the other sisters. Or another case, for example, if let's say his mother-in-law is not married, and then she gets married, she becomes an Eishes Ish. So since now this woman, his mother-in-law, becomes forbidden to the whole world now because she's an Eishes Ish, so that includes now the son-in-law too, to be liable for two things, not just for mother-in-law, but also Eishes Ish, not because that's something unique to this situation, but because since it's including other people, he gets included into that Isser too. So ask the Gemara, based on the principle of Isser Kail, you could add on another case to the Mishnah, that of a Shavua. Although you can't take a Shavua that you're not going to do work on Yom Tov, because already you can't do it because of Har Sinai, but you could say, I'm not going to do it during the weekday and on Yom Tov, and therefore, since it's taking effect on the weekday, it should take effect during Yom Tov too. First, the Gemara answers, no, he says, "Mi didi isa b'she'ilo ikotani." No, you can't say a case of an oath at all, even if it would take effect because of Isser Kail. Because we don't say anything in the halacha of the Mishnah that one could ask and undo. And that is a shvua and a neder. A person could ask a chacham and undo it. He could find the charat, the regret, and that it was never there. Those types of cases we didn't describe. And that is the Gemara v'loy, but not. Vari hektish, one of the variables in the Mishnah describes the 8 violations. One of them is that the 2 animals that he's working with are hektish. And hektish is something that you could be shayel, you could ask, and then undo the hektish. And you said we don't count things of that have she'ela. Says the Gemara, no, as we had mentioned this with the Rivan in the Mishnah, no, we're talking about Bechar. Bechar is an animal that's hektish that you can't ask. You didn't make it with your words. Most karbanas, person sanctified it here. Bechar is the firstborn, it's born sanctified. So that's a verb that's not able to be undone. But the Gemara still asks, but Bahari Nazir. But one of the cases was that he's the guy who's plowing on this this one pharaoh is doing it in a place of tumah, and he's a nazir. A nazir is something that could be undone. It's a case of a neder, a nazir. It's a type of a neder which has shayla. So the Gemara, no, but nazir shimshin. We're told about that the nazirus that he had was like that, what's called of that of shimshin, which that was accepted to this child, Shimshin, the famous Shimshin of from Nach, was through a malach, through an angel. Where there's no she'elah, because that's a command from Shemayim. A she'elah is only possible if the person is accepting it on themselves. And that the Gemara says, Nazir Shimshin? But Nazir Shimshin by Tmui LeMesim Hu? Is Nazir, is type of Nazir of Shimshin that which would be forbidden to become tummy to dead people? But someone that accepts the nazir through a malach, the Gemara says himself, this nazir of Dalma Beis, that actually Shimshin was permitted to make himself tummy to dead people. Now, initially, the Gemara wanted to learn it out from a pasuk where it says Vayachme v'chamishim, that he killed so many people, which he was in contact with Tumas Mesim, and the Gemara says no, maybe he made them only geisin, and he didn't come in contact with dead people. Rather, says the Gemara, it's a tradition that we have. So, therefore, how can you say it's tumat nazir Shimshin if nazir Shimshin, then that wouldn't be able, because the case of the Mishnah was, one of the violations was that this Nazir is becoming tummy. And if it's Nazir Shimshin, there's no problem about becoming tummy. Now Rivan says, some want to say that initially the Gemara's answer of Nazir Shimshin meant, not through a Malach, but rather he was born as a Nazir. Problem with that is, but that's also able to have She'elah, because the father could be Shoyal on that. And even if the father dies, but it was still possible to have She'elah, and therefore that wouldn't be a viable option. Rather, Nazir Shimshin means through a Malach, but still as the Gemara, then there wouldn't be a problem about Tumah. Ella rather says the Gemara, no, to answer the initial question about why are we not counting Shvua as one of the another set of lashes for the case of our Mishnah, high time the time of our Mishnah, Isser Kaila Lesla. He does not hold to this principle of Isser Kaila, that by adding on other elements that will include something that's us already anyway. And therefore, although you're saying a Nedda, I'm not a Shvua, I'm not going to work plow during the weekday and on Yom Tov, it will take effect during the weekday, but it will not add on and take effect in the Yom Tov, and therefore it's not going to be counted as one of the cases of our Mishnah. Amar Pashi says, Hamar Bia Shur Psuleh Magdashim. If someone mates an ox that was Kachim but became Pasul, that can't be brought as a carbon anymore, which was redeemed, so now you can use that animal. If someone mates that animal even with the same species, Loikishnaim, he gets two sets of lashes. Now, the reason for this is because this animal is one body, which the Torah makes it as if it's two bodies. Why? Because this animal that's Psulei Magdashin, that was a hektish that got a mum, got blemished, and then it was redeemed, on some level it has halacha as chul, on some level it has halacha as kachim. The reason why it has halacha like chul is because you're allowed to eat it out of the opening of the olamayit, as if it was never hektish in the first place. But it also has halachas of kachim, because it's forbidden to cut the hair of the animal, to work with the animal, as it says in the Sefri, it says, b'chol avas nafshach, whatever your heart's desire is, you could use with this psulei magdashin, tizbach v'chal tabasar, you could slaughter it and you could eat its meat. Now, regarding what is that pasuk talking about? If it's talking about regular meat, meaning basa taiva, meaning regular chulin animal, so that the pasuk elsewhere says, ki yarcha v'shem lekechas gevulcha, ki ta'ava nafshecha, so it says already you could do whatever you want with a regular piece of meat. And if it's talking about eating kachim, but that the Torah tells us, no, ki yim b'makom, it has to be shem tali, you got to bring it up to the base of Mikdash. So it says to Zafri, that pasuk is talking about psulei Mikdashim that were redeemed. And what does the pasuk tell us? Tizbach, you could slaughter the animal, but not giza, you can't shear the animal's wool. That is, it's forbidden to do giza or to work with it. When it says you could have the baser, means not the milk. When it says you could eat it, but not throw it to your dogs. So therefore, you're not allowed to mate this animal, even with the same species, because on some level it would be considered like chlayim, because let's say you're mating it with kachim, you'll be mating chulin with kachim. Let's say mating with chulin. On some level it's kachim, mating kachim with chulin. And therefore, it's forbidden, and it would be two sets of lashes for mating this animal. Similarly, Amr Yitzchak, he says the same thing would apply, Hamanik Bishur Psulei Magdashim, like if someone goes and leads and works with this Shur Psulei Magdashim, he's going to get lashes even if he would lead it with its same species, and even if he lets it go by itself, because inside this animal is Chulin and Kachim. So therefore he would be liable for Kalayim of Harisha, of plowing, because it itself is Kalayim. Shahri guf echadhu, because it's one body, but vasah kasav kishne gufim, and the pasuk considers it like two different bodies, and therefore that would be a liability of two sets of lashes when if it was being mated with another animal. And even when you do it by itself, that arezi is one set of lashes of klayim where you have the chulin and the kachim together. Which Rivan says, he didn't hear any proof anywhere that chulin and kachim should be considered klayim with the other, and he wonders where do we find that, but that's what it seems the Gemara is saying, is that that would be considered a violation of klayim to be liable for lashes. Now the Mishnah now describes and qualifies this halacha of kama malkanoise. So we've been talking about these are those who get lashes from the beginning of the parak. So kama malkanoise, how many lashes do they give to the person who's chayiv malkas? Says the Tana Kama, arboim chaser achas, 40 minus 1. The reason why we say that is because the words in the pasuk is actually 40, but as the Gemara will explain, it's actually 39. Shenema, like it says the pasuk, and this is the pasuk in Devarim, and the pasuk there says, vehipilo ha-shayfit, that the judge throws down the defendant, the ko lefanav, and he hits in front of him, kedei rishasa, according to his wickedness, b'misper, according to the count. That's one pasuk. Then, right next to that, the next pasuk says, arboim, 40 yakenu lashes he should get. Now, from here we expound as if this last word of the first pasuk and the first word of the second pasuk, as if they're read together. As if we're going to read it, b'misper arboim, for a count of 40. What does that mean? Minyan shu samach l'arboim, a count that's near 40, as the Gemara's word actually is not samach, but actually seikim, the count which concludes into 40. As the Gemara explains, from the fact that it doesn't say yakenu arboim b'misper, that you should hit him 40 in that count, rather b'misper arboim yakenu, what we learn from that is that it's a number that concludes into 40, which it that's that amount is you could say after that 40, which is 39. And therefore that's how we know that there's 39 lashes. Now Yudam, he disagrees. He says, no, Abom Shlemus would like it. No, like the Torah says, he gets 40 complete lashes. Now, Vehechan Hulaikya Sisera, so we know there's 39 lashes. He says, and where does the 40th lash go? That's Binkasev, if that's between his shoulders, as Gemara will explain his opinion. Now, Ein Imdenaisa continues the Mishnah, we did not evaluate this person, how many lashes he can get, which 39 or 40 is the max, el b'makis ru'uyis l'hishtalash, unless in multiples of 3, as the Gemara will explain. So the max is 39, but it goes in 3s. Amdu l'kav l'arbam, says the Mishnah as follows, let's say he was evaluated that he could receive all 40. V'leik it mixes, but then they started giving the lashes, and he got some of the lashes, and we continue to medbeis. Then in the middle they evaluated, this guy's not going to make it. He's going to die, which the halacha tells us he's not supposed to die. He's not going to be able to have all 40. Says the Mishnah Pata, then he's going to be exempt because once he was already disgraced in the court because he already got some of the lashes, so that's enough. In contrast, as we'll see in the Gemara, says Rivan, but if he didn't get any lashes yet, and initially they evaluate him that he could withstand 40, and then they reevaluate him, they said he's not going to be able to handle anything, then we do not exempt him because we can't just diminish the amount of lashes that they're supposed to be. Rather, they'll wait till he gets healthy and they'll give him lashes at a later point in time. So to the next halach of the Mishnah, amdu l'kabel shemayin esrei, if they evaluated him at that he could withstand 18 lashes. U'mishalaka, but then once they started giving him lashes, amdu, they evaluate him again. They said, no, shechul l'kabel abam, this guy could take all 40. Pater, he's exempt because he already had lashes. And as Rivan will explain the Gemara, it's disgraceful once they really gave him the lashes to go ahead and add on more, different than the court had originally evaluated him. So therefore, they leave it at that. But again, Rivan explains, if they didn't give him any lashes yet, and then they reevaluate him, they said, no, he can handle 40, then of course they could add on to the original evaluation and end up giving him 40 instead of 18. Now the Gemara asked to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama, my time, what's the reason? The pasuk says 40. Why is it that we only give 39 lashes? Says the Gemara, iksiv arboim b'misper, had the words been 40 in the count, savamina arboim b'minyan, that would have been read, 40 in the count, a count of 40. Hash d'chsiv b'misper arboim, but now that it says in a count of 40, minyan shu seikim es arboim, that's the count that concludes to the 40, meaning 40 is the general number that it leads into, and a number that leads up to that, which is 39. Actually, Amar Rabbi says, "Kama tibshoi shar inshi." How foolish are other people? What fools they are! The majority of people, the kaimim mekmei sevatar, they stand up in front of a Torah scroll, which that's the halacha. But the kaimim mekmei gavur rabbi, they don't stand up in front of a talmud chacham. The ilu b'sevatar iksev abam. In the Torah scroll, it says how many lashes is 40. Va'as rabban and batzuchad, and the rabbis come and diminish the amount of lashes from 40 to 39, and we go with that, and we see how much greater and a favor in the sense to the Rasha, that down from 40 to 39, so we see who's greater is the Talmud Chacham, and yet people stand up for Sefer Torah and not for the Talmud Chacham. Now, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Arbaam Shleimus B'chul. He says, no, 40, not 39. So Amar basically says, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason, Rabbi Yehuda? Seemingly, the drush we just brought before is that it's B'misbar Arbaam, which is 39, not 40. Why does he say 40? Although the words of Torah say 40, but we said that the wording indicates 39. Says the Gemara, you're right, he's coming from another pasuk. The Sivit says the pasuk in Zechariah, Maha makasa ilo ben yodecha. What are these lashes, these wounds that are between your hands, which means the top part of the hands, which are the shoulders? V'aman, he says, Ashehu kesi beis me'ahavai, which these are the hits that I got in the house of my beloved, which that alludes to the 40th lashes, which are the 39 are in the back, which goes around to the belly. The 40th, says Rabbi, that we learned from this pasuk in Zechariah, which says that goes between his shoulders. Now, Rabbanon, they say, that pasuk is not talking about a person who gets lashes from the cord. It's talking about the school children who that whip that they got from the teacher, that was what they said, that the house of my beloved, that was something that it's not a lash that could kill. It's just to put them in their place, to be able to discipline them. That's what the pasuk is referring to, but we don't see a 40th lash from this pasuk. Now, the Mishnah said, "Ein imdin el b'makas haru'uyis b'chulu." We only evaluate regarding lashes that could be in multiples of 3, b'chulu, etc. Now, it also told us, regarding the halacha that then went up to the top of this amid, that if he was evaluated a certain amount, and then they started giving him lashes, and then they see that that's different, so then he's going to be exempt. One thing the Gemara asks, as the Rivam was already told us in the Mishnah, lock it in. Sounds like only if he already started getting lashes, then we'll say, okay, you know, we're not gonna do any more. Loy lock a loy, but if he didn't get lashes yet, and then they changed the evaluation, so then they could change that, and they could tell him that, okay, look, you can't. Yeah, let's say you had 18, and now we say you can do 40, so we're gonna go ahead and then we're gonna give you 40. But Verminu, the Gemara asks, that seems to be contradicted from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Amduhu l'kabal arbam. Let's say they evaluated him at 40. V'chazdu v'amdu she'en yochel l'kabal arbam. Then they reevaluated him, and they said that he can't handle 40. So we had said in the Mishnah that it's only if he started getting lashes, so then they say, okay. But if they can't handle lashes, and they didn't get any lashes yet, so we say, okay, fine, you can't handle 40 now, so we're going to wait. It's only if he started getting lashes, and we say, okay, started getting, fine, then we're not going to do any more. But the Braisa says, Pater, he's exempt even if there was no lashes. Moreover, says the Braisa, Amdu l'kabal shemayna esrei. Let's say they value him at 18 lashes. V'chazdu b'amdu sheyochel l'kabal arbaam. And then they reevaluate him and said, no, he can handle 40. Even though there was no lashes yet, Pater, we see that he's exempt even though he didn't get lashes. Obviously, we see that there is no difference between getting lashes or not getting lashes. So too will be here, whether they evaluated him to be 40 originally or whether they evaluated him to be 18. Even if he didn't get lashes, we're not going to do, let's say in the case of 18, more than the original evaluation. So therefore, both the Reisha and the Sefer are difficult. Our Mishnah was only going to be if there was already Laka. And here we see in the Braisa, both cases are even if it wasn't Laka. Still, we're going to go with the exemption of let's say, by 18 from the original evaluation. And so too, regarding when there was originally 40, and now he can't, they're going to say, okay, he's going to be Potter. But again, we're not going to delay it and wait, like we said, in the Halacha of HaMishnah, if you didn't get any lashes yet. So Rav Sheshi said, Lekash is not difficult. He says, Ha, the Halacha of our Mishnah is, Damdu liyoymi. They evaluate him for that day. In the morning, let's say he's going to get it in the afternoon. They evaluate him that day, that he could receive 80 or 40 or 18. Now, therefore, since later that day, they reevaluate him, and they saw that, no, he can't receive that amount. Or he could. So it was revealed that obviously the evaluation, whoever evaluated him early in the morning, didn't do a proper evaluation. Because how could the same day totally reject what they evaluated in the morning? Nothing changed. He didn't get weaker from that little amount of time. So you have to say that there was an error in the evaluation. So therefore, when they, let's say, originally evaluated him at 40, and then later in the day they reevaluated him, they said, hey, this guy can't take 40. If he started getting some of the lashes, then they're going to exempt him. Why? Because he was already disgraced. But if he didn't get lashes yet, so then it's like he was never evaluated because it was totally an error. It's only now when they're looking into his court case and they say that he can't handle it, so then they're going to have to wait till he gets healthy and then they're going to evaluate him in the evaluation that's appropriate for him. So too, if let's say in the other case, when they evaluate him at 18 and then that same day they reevaluate him, they say that, no, this guy can handle 40. So retroactively it's revealed that there was an error in the first evaluation which was not halachically significant. So therefore, if he already got the 18, so then they'll let him go. Because once he already left the court, it's disgraceful for the court to take him back. But if he didn't get lashes yet, so they're allowed to add on to the original evaluation. That's not because the original evaluation was nothing. It was totally an error. But the case of the Braisa was their original evaluation was for tomorrow or for a different day. With that, we say, no, the original evaluation was appropriate. They had looked into it and they did a good assessment that he was able to accept that amount of lashes for what we thought is going to be the day of the lashes. It's just that something changed and he got weaker. So then when they originally evaluate him at 40, until that day, when that day comes around, they evaluate him, they say, this guy can't accept this at all. So the original evaluation was a good evaluation. Now, since that changed, and now he weakened and he can't accept it, so he's exempt, even though he didn't get lashes, because he was already disgraced at that original evaluation. So if let's say they evaluate him at 18 for a week from now, and when that day comes, they evaluate him, they say, no, this guy can handle 40. We're only going to give him the lashes according to the first evaluation because that was a true evaluation. Now that it changed, we're not going to make it worse, and therefore, there's no contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about that same day where the original evaluation is obviously mistaken, and here it's talking about the Braisa when the first evaluation was for a later day, where then we say that the first evaluation was significant, and therefore, let's in the case of 18, we're going to say that that's all we're going to give him, even if we later find out, without even giving lashes, that he can handle more than that. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme about how many lashes we give him. Of Averish Yesh B'Shnei Lavin, let's say a person violates a sin that has two negative prohibitions. For example, let's say he's plowing with an ox and a donkey, which is one Isser of Klaim with Charisha. And moreover, this Klaim in the Kerem, the vineyard that he's plowing, is also Klaim, is also a forbidden mixture. So he's doing a sin that has two negative prohibitions. So, amdu Eimed Echad, if they make one evaluation for how much he could handle for the two sets of lashes, so like Patri, he gets the lashes, and then we set him off. He's exempt. Meaning, let's say he can't handle 80 or the 78 lashes that he's supposed to get. So then we give him however much he could handle. We give one big evaluation for the two sets of lashes, and then that's it. But Vimla, but let's say if not. Let's say they did not give him one evaluation. Let's say they only evaluate him for one of the Averis, one of the Lavin. For that one negative prohibition, they evaluate him. So then the Halacha is like, he gets lashes. Then we wait till he heals, and then we go ahead and we hit him again. So then he'll probably have to handle more because we'll have that delay in time till he gets healthy to reevaluate him again for the second set of lashes. Now the Gemara, however, asked in the halacha of our Mishnah, but Tanya learned the Braisa that says, "Ein oimdim oimid echad l'shnei lavin." The Braisa says, "No, we do not give one evaluation for two negative prohibitions. How could our Mishnah say that you do that and then he'll be exempt?" So Rav Sheshi says, "Look, it's not difficulty. Ha, the case of the Braisa." Is damdu l'arbam v'chada, is where they evaluate him at 41 lashes. Now, whatever a person is evaluated up until the number 39, that goes to one set of lashes, because that's the halacha of Malkus, is 40 minus 1, which is 39. That goes for one set of lashes. Now, the case of the Mishnah, is damdu l'arbam v'tarti, is when you evaluate him at 42. So, since additional to the 39, there's another 3, which is 42, then even though there's only 3 lashes that he could take, but that's okay. Because since it's 42, that three that's more than the 39 will go towards the second lav. But if let's say, like the Braisa, there's only that we evaluate him that could handle 2 more makos, which makes it for a total of 41, then he's only going to get 39 for that one lav, and then we're going to wait till he heals, and then he's going to go back and get lashes again. Because as we said in the Mishnah, makos in ruis lishtalish, if you cannot do it by multiples of 3, we don't give lashes. So that's where the Braisa said we can't do them both at the same time. But if he can handle 42 or more, then we'll do them at the same time because then it's fit to do those 2 because as long as you can have 3 for the second one, even though he can't handle more, that's enough to be considered a set of lashes for the second lav. Continues the next Mishnah on this theme. So Ketz and Malkanosis. How do we give the lashes? Says the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes how the process is. Kaifish te yodav alo amud helich vehelich. So they tie down his hands on the pillar on either side. I mean, there's a piece of wood that's pushed into the ground, which is around 2 amas or 1.5 amas high. And the person is bent over, and he's leaning over this pillar, like a person who's leaning on the doorpost, and his hands are hanging downward. And then they take his hands and tie it on the side of that post. Now, v'chazna knesses, the shamish, the attendant of the shul, eiches bibgadav, he grabs a hold of this the person's the garments. Now, as he grabs it, im nikru, nikru, if it tears, it tears. Now, v'im nifrimu, which is a type of tearing at the seams, then nifrimu, then it tears at the seams. But the point is, atru magalis liba, until his chest is revealed. Whereas Tosfos says, Masechta Sota, because of the pasuk says, v'nikla, he has to be disgraced. That's part of the mitzvah. Now, v'evan nesunim ma'achrab, the rock is placed behind this defendant. And chazak neses amir lav, the attendant, stands on that rock. Ritzu b'yada, he has a whip in his hand. Shel eagle, which is from calfskin. Now, moreover, there's another strap that's kufula echel l'shnayim, that the strap is doubled over into two. So essentially, you have b'shnayim l'arba, you have the two straps that are then folded over, which makes those two straps make into like four straps. Additionally, v'shtei ritzui shel chamar oilis v'yardis ba, there are two straps from donkey skin that are going up and down that strap. In other words, you have two straps that are hanging in the middle of the strap, which is made out of donkey skin. And the reason why we take donkey skin is to fulfill like the pasuk that says that even a donkey realizes its owner, whereas this person who's obviously getting lashes and sin, he himself doesn't realize his master. Now, when we say that it's eilus v'yardis, that it goes up and down, because that's the way how stitching is done with straps, where you make a hole in the strap and the hole towards the bottom, and then you weave it in and out, going up towards the top, so it looks like it's going up and down with these two straps, because that's how it looks like when you go in and out, when you weave in and out. Now, yada, the handle, the stick that the strap is held onto, its length is a tefach. V'rachfa, and the width of the strap itself, is tefach. Now, v'reisha magas al pi kresa, the tip of the strap reaches up until the belly of the defendant. That's how the measurement is, that when he hits him, that it should be that the edge of the whip should reach to the beginning of his belly. Now, umako ise shlish mufana, when he hits him, a third of the strap should go in the front part of the person, meaning, because the one who's hitting him stands on the side of the person who's getting whipped. And he hits him on the width of his back. So the entire length of the strap is going through the width of his back, and it wraps around until it goes to the beginning of his belly. Now, although we said that the rock is placed behind the defendant, even so, the one who's hitting him would lean a little bit towards the side, and it would hit him along the entire width of his back, and a third of it would go in the front. V'shtei yodis malachrov, and so one-third, as we said, one-third would go in the front, and shtei yodis malachrov, that which the front means his belly, and two-thirds of it would be on his back. The Gemara will explain the reason for this. Now, the Eina Mako Esai, now he doesn't hit him, loy oimid, not standing, but loy yoshib, and not sitting, elamuta, rather bent over. Shenem, like the Pasuk says, in Devarim, v'hipil ha-shevet, the judge has to push him down, so he has to be not fell down, not standing, but rather leaning over. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah of Hamaka, the one who hits, he hits with one hand, so because then you can get all this strength out there. Two hands is harder to regulate. One hand, you can get more strength and hit him harder. Now, and the one who's reading reads the following psukim. Now, the reason why it says hakayre is obvious that there has to be recital of psukim, as the Gemara says, increases of Yodalf and Aleph. It says in the pasuk, Bikairis Tia, which literally means say that an investigation will be, but it's read as Bikriya Tehe, that there should be recital. So therefore, our Mishnah assumes we know that already, that the one who's reciting recites the following psukim. Pasuk is in Devarim, and it says, Imlesish Malas is Begaim, if he will not safeguard to do, etc., where the pasuk says all the words of this Torah, which is written in the Sefer, to fear Hashem, that's the honored and the awesome one, Hashem, your God. And as the next pasuk continues, v'hifla Hashem es makoyscha v'es makoyscha v'goyim, Hashem should make wondering your wounds and the wounds of, as the pasuk says, of your children, very large makis, which are faithful and are very ill, which will hurt the person that sins. And v'goyim etc. v'goyim l'tchas ha-mikri goes back to the beginning of the pasuk. So too, he says a pasuk in Devarim that says, Ushmartim es divri habris hazayis begoyim, you should safeguard the words of this covenant, etc., where it says, and you should do them so that you should be smart to know to do all these things. And b'chaytim, he concludes like the pasuk in Tehillim says, v'hu rachum, and he who is merciful, yichaper oven, will forgive the sins, begoyim, etc., and it says, v'l yashkas, he won't destroy, and he will increase to bring back his anger, and he will not flare up all of his temper. And begoyim, etc., b'chayzal tchaz hamikra, he comes back to the beginning of the pasuk. Says the Mishnah, the meis tachas yada, if the defendant dies beneath the hand of the one who's giving him the lashes, pati is exempt because he's an agent of the court, as the Gemara says in Afchas Amid Aleph, that excluded from the halacha of galus is a father who hits his son or a shliach bezin. Now, but let's say haitziv lo idritzo achas, let's say he adds on one more lash, more than how much they evaluated him at, and then he dies, he has to go into galus because of him. He didn't kill him deliberately, but it's still not considered the exemption of Shleich Bezdin, and he has to go into galus. Whereas Rivan says, and this is different than the case which is brought in Sanhedrin of Ayin Chesem and Aleph, when 10 people hit someone with 10 sticks, and he ends up dying, that they're all exempt. So why don't we say that the last one, Hiroso, his last lash, is from the ones which were permitted. Hiroso, the last one who hit, because he's not the only one that killed him, the other ones also helped. That's because over there, the Gemara says, it's talking about where the first ones made him into a geisus. He's already in the throes of death by the first guys. The last guy who just finally did the last draw didn't really kill him. He killed like a dead man. Here, this guy, he did all of it, and moreover, the last whip was what killed him. He wasn't a geisus before that. Therefore, he's going to have to go into galus. Last halacha of the Mishnah says, niskalkal, let's say if he soils himself while he's getting lashes, so bein berei, bein b'mayim, whether with excrement or whether with urine, patri is already exempt because the pasuk says v'nikla, that he should be disgraced, and he's already disgraced, so that's it, we don't have to give him more lashes. B'yudah, I mean, he disagrees, he says, no, ha'ish berei, a man has to defecate, he has to have excrement to exempt himself, v'ish b'mayim, and if it's a woman, then if she urinates, that's already enough of exemption, already considering v'nikla, to exempt them from further malchus.